So holiday weeks can certainly be challenging. Here it is Friday, July 9th here in the U.S. We've had an entire week of holiday madness. And if you're in sales, poses a lot of challenges. Today we're going to talk about a really quick thought process that's going to help you going forward, because you got other holidays that are going to be coming up. We're going to show you how to deal with them. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 40,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook podcast is brought to you by our prospecting download. Going to be talking about it at the end of this very short podcast. But in the meantime, if you'd like to go and visit the link and you happen to be impatient like I am, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. So I want to kind of start off by saying, you know, with a holiday week and all here in the U.S., if you decided to take the week off, take a vacation, take a little recharge, I want to say congrats. If you decided to work this week, I'm going to also say congrats, because you made a decision. But if you kind of sort of showed up for work, you were mentally checked out, you kind of dicked around all week, and you just really, you were there, but you weren't there, I have some bad news for you. I mean, you know, I'm going to be Captain Obvious right now and tell you, you just lost a week. So the big question that we're going to be focusing on today is one that's going to make a lot of people listening to this podcast rather uncomfortable. And you know what happens when we're faced with things that make us uncomfortable? What do? We avoid them because we're humans. It's that kind of fight or flight thing. Except in this case, it's that fight or I don't want to effing deal with it thing. So here's the difficult question. You ready? It's coming at you right now. How did you do this week? Seriously, how did you do? Because there's a funny thing about holiday weeks and long weekends. Every time we're faced with them, you ready for this? We act surprised. As if somewhere some sneaky son of a bitch put it on the calendar and they didn't give us the memo. You have been around holiday weeks and long weekends your entire life, but yet we act so surprised. And considering that we're the kind of people in sales, I think we are anyway, that pride ourselves in comebacks and responses and rebuttals, we just seem so disarmed when it comes to dealing with the holiday week. So I have a couple of questions for you. Going into the holiday week, did you have some appointments lined up? Because I'm going to tell you that that's one of the best possible things you could do. Now, granted, I want to be very specific about it. Because as much as it's really good to have appointments going into a holiday week, you're going to have a very, very high no-show rate as well, because people, like we said before, are mentally checked out. They kind of have that that holiday mentality, and I started laughing there because I wanted to say something and I stopped myself, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to take the filter off. They kind of have their head up their ass this week, as we many of us do in sales. And you know what it is? It's the first official week of summer here in the U.S. You got to get out there and relax and everything, and you can easily forget. But now, when I say going into the holiday week with appointments, especially if you're somebody who would have to travel to appointments, I think it's a great week for virtual appointments. And if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that we can, in fact, have a Zoom meeting. Right? We can certainly do that. So going into it knowing that, yeah, you're going to have a high no-show rate and or cancellation rate is a good thing to think about. But I would much rather spend my time in actual appointments and conducting demos and discovery calls than sitting around saying, oh, shit, man, nobody's there, nobody's answering the phone, whatever. So that's the first question for you. I mean, did you go into the holiday week with actual appointments? And I also want you to know, did you know that you're allowed to have, you ready for this? Did you know that you're allowed to have appointments during a holiday week? I mean, heaven forbid, you could actually have appointments scheduled for that week instead of trying to get people to convince them to have an appointment with you later on. All right, so the next thing. Did you buy into the bullshit myth that nobody has needs this week, that nobody is interested this week, that nobody wants to talk to you? One of the biggest lessons that I learned early in my career, it came to me, compliments of the printing industry. And it was some old dogs. And if you've been listening to me for a while, an old dog, it really isn't an age thing, it's a mindset thing. These guys happen to be both old in age, old in spirit. Also, just kind of like you can't teach them a new trick type of old dog. They knew everything. They had the answer for everything. And there I was. I was starting out. I started out in the printing industry. I remember it was when I started selling in the printing industry. It was June. Beginning of summer. It was late. It was right around my birthday, around the 24th, 25th. And I'll never forget all the old-timers saying, you're wasting your time, kid. Nobody wants to take meetings over the summer. And true story, I remember, and they didn't just say it once, they said it the entire summer. And what I started to realize in some ways is that they were telling me that because I was making them look bad. I want you to think about this, seriously. Not that I was like God's gift to prospecting, because there was a long period in that summer where I really didn't set up much. But I just kept hitting the phones and, you know, sending out snail mail and doing my thing. But I came to the conclusion that I was making them look bad because, see, they had given up and they wanted, you know, misery loves company type of thing. They wanted somebody else who was on board who wasn't proving them wrong. See, none of them were willing to pick up the phone and challenge that feeling. Now, I'm going to tell you, at first, when I was making those calls, I had so many people not picking up the phone and so many people give me that bullshit excuse, call me back at the end of summer and all that, that I was beginning to second guess myself. And I was wondering if these guys had in fact figured it out. I mean, after all, they were veterans in that industry. They should know. I mean, you know, maybe I should not be that typical youngin and thinking, you know, he knows it all and maybe like gain something from their wisdom. But I kept at it. And I started setting up a lot of appointments over the summer. Now, I want to tell you what happened. Because a lot of times when a sales trainer tells you a story like this, and I kept at it, and I made $1 million. No, didn't happen. Took me a while even to get that first appointment. And I remember I started getting appointments, and I wasn't closing shit. I'm not kidding you. And everybody kept saying after summer, after summer, after summer, but I just kept at it, kept refining my approach, kept learning every chance that I had. And come September, I made my first sale that year. Now, that took me an entire summer, half of the summer probably, just to get in front of that first person that would be willing to see me over the summer. And then got a lot of, you know, maybes and a lot of, you know, after Labor Day and all that. But come September, for a period of about, I think it was like 13 months or something like that. Might have been as much as 15 months, but it was certainly the better part. It was at least a year. Every month, it was 1 to 2 new clients that I was just kind of riding. I mean, I didn't just coast after that. I just kept prospecting, but 1 to 2 a month came in, brand new customers, just from the work that I was willing to put in over the summer. So I'm here to tell you, you gotta reject the bullshit myths that you come across. I'm also here to tell you, remember what we said before, how we avoid the things that are difficult. We avoid the things that make us uncomfortable. I also believe that we tell ourselves lies, and we believe the lies other people tell us if it serves us, and if those lies help us to avoid something uncomfortable. In this case, it's, you know, I get it. Prospecting isn't our favorite thing. And the people who tell me they love cold calling, I've always considered them full of shit because I don't enjoy cold calling, but it's a necessary evil. I see the value in picking up the phone. And just in general, prospecting, yes, there's other things that I would rather be doing than hunting for business. And quite frankly, when you're someone like me who has a lot of content out there and you have a lot of people that come to you saying, hey, I want to go into your sales course. Hey, I want to hire you as a sales coach or to come out and train our sales team. You know, which one would you rather have? The one where people love you and accept you and come to you, or have to, I don't know, make yourself vulnerable and reach out to other people? So I get all that, but I still do it. I still get out there hunting, been doing it for years, and I see the value in it. So the second thing that I've been talking about here is, again, did you buy into the bullshit myth that nobody has needs this week, that nobody wants to talk to you, that everybody is checked out? Yeah, the vast majority are. Doesn't mean that there's not somebody out there. You know, just as a quick side note, one of the things that has kept me going my entire career is that I look at the process of hunting for new business suspiciously. Now, what I mean by that, suspiciously, like there's something there. I just haven't found it yet. Like that's kind of the internal dialogue that I have. When I have a week like this, where at first it seems like nobody's picking up their phone, nobody's around, nobody's answering email, getting lots of those out-of-office auto responses, auto replies or whatever. But the thing of it is that, you know, you buy into a line of bullshit, and then you start thinking, okay, well, you know, nobody's really out there. But see, when you look at it suspiciously, like, you know what, it's there, I just haven't found it yet. Now you're presupposing, yes, the opportunity is there. I mean, really, when you think about it, every single day, it doesn't matter, somebody is pissed off at their supplier. A supplier, you know, raised their price unjustifiably. A supplier bullshitted them. A supplier missed a deadline. Every single day, there's a new buyer, a new decision maker. There's a new business that was born that needs you. There's a new person out there that needs you to make them look like a rock star. There's someone out there second-guessing the solutions that you're using. There's someone not getting the results from the solution that they're using. We can go on and on and on. And really, when we break it down, our job is just to simply find those people. So you have to go from a place that they're there. Now, do you think those things disappear when there's a holiday week? I mean, seriously, needs occur regardless, unless you were in, you sell a seasonal product. So the next thing that I want to ask you, were you productive this week? Or, again, did you kind of kid yourself thinking that, well, you know, I'm going to just update my CRM? That becomes, and this thing is one of my pet peeves, by the way. Whenever I put a question out there in the Facebook group that we have, and by the way, if you haven't joined our Facebook sales community, stop by Facebook, look up Sales Playbook. You might be under Paul Castain Sales Playbook, but we have a fan page, but there's also a group where we do discussion, talk about sales stuff. And it just, again, I'm not here to make fun of anybody. And when I laugh many times, it's because I made the same dumb mistake. But whenever there's a holiday week, it seems like everybody thinks the best thing to do is update their CRM. First of all, forgive me, but like, why the F aren't we doing that as we go along? Because I can't speak for you, but I can't afford to lose an entire week to updating my CRM. That doesn't put money in my pocket, that activity. You might be saying, well, you know, it's a dead week anyway. Well, says you. Again, that's the bullshit myth right there that you're believing, and you're allowing that bullshit myth to kind of change your trajectory toward a place where you're losing money. Seriously, there's no money in that thought process. So, again, were you productive this week, or did you kid yourself into thinking that updating your CRM was the best use of your time? Now, pardon me, if you had extra time this week, how'd you use it? Now, I want to talk about that one for a minute, because I don't want this to seem like, oh man, it's just a beat-up session. Castain's being a real dick this week. The thing that I want to point out to you is that, remember, I'm in the trenches too, folks. I'm not some sales trainer who, you know, quit that quote-unquote racket years ago so I could do something safe and do sales training. I've owned my sales training company now for about 10 and a half years. And the biggest thing that I'm proud of in this business, aside from, I don't know, I think we're up to 40,000 people that we've trained through the program, is that I'm saying we, but it's me. It's just one person, which means that I've got to go out and bring home the bacon. I don't have the luxury of having a sales force out there doing all the work for me. I am a one-man army. I've got to go out there and bring home the bacon. So going into the week, I was looking at, okay, you know what? I am going to have a little extra time. As much as I have some activities planned, I have a few appointments, or I had, because now it's Friday, I had a few appointments that were scheduled. You remember that was the first thing that I asked you, hey, did you actually have appointments that were scheduled? And yes, I had a few people no-show. It happens. I didn't take it personally. So I had a little bit of extra time this week between the no-shows and just the fact that it's a holiday week. So how was I planning on filling in that time? Now, I'm not going to give away the whole thing, but I like to look at some things that I normally wouldn't have time to do, but yet it's really, really important. So one of the things that I chose to do, actually, I'll tell you two of the things that I chose to do this week. There was a lot more to it than this. But again, going into week, had a little extra time. There's two things that I chose to add to the list of things to do, because I won't have the time to do it next week. I've been a big advocate of utilizing and leveraging a LinkedIn network. The problem with LinkedIn, and I've been saying this for the better part of a decade, probably 11 years now, is that the average person sends you a connection request and then does dick. They do nothing. They do absolutely effing nothing. And yet, it'll be those same people, I can tell you right now, I can predict the future, 6 months from now, a year from now, I don't know, maybe even weeks from now, will be running their mouth about how much the platform sucks. And meanwhile, they've done nothing, as if it was up to LinkedIn to magically bring those people to, you know, beat a path to their proverbial doorstep. You've got to put in the work. Now, what many of you say is that, well, I'm too busy to put in the work. First of all, again, going to call that one out. That's another bullshit excuse. You have to make the time the way you make the time to do other things. But this week was a great week to have put in some work on the LinkedIn network. So what did I do this week? One of the things that I did was I sent out a resource to everyone in my LinkedIn network. It's time consuming. I have, which is relatively low for a guy that's kind of in the thought leadership space, I have about 8,500 followers or something like that, and maybe 6,500 of them are actual connections. So the problem is, when you're trying to send out a resource, is you can send it out to everyone, but then everyone see at the same time. I don't know if it's like 50, 100 at a time or whatever. But everyone kind of sees then who's on it. Some idiot replies all. And then next thing you know, people are disconnecting with you. And it's just also in poor taste to do it that way. So really, the part that becomes time-consuming is you really got to do these one at a time. Now, again, is it time consuming? Yeah. Is it the best use of my time? Normally, unless I'm doing it off hours, which is when I do it, like not during prime time, during prime game time, I will not do that activity. I like to do it after hours, but this week it was fine because I had extra time. Now, let me tell you what happened as a result of me sending out a resource. And what I mean by a resource, I send out, and there's really two flavors of a resource you can send out. You can send out a resource that's tied to your company. And that's what I did. And not a salesy resources, maybe a white paper that you guys put out, a PDF. In my case, it was a blog post talking about 14 ways you could change up your selling tactics over the summer. And I sent that out to everybody. But the other kind that you can send out is one that really doesn't tie back to your company. Maybe it's an app or, again, a third-party resource, a website, a podcast, something like that. You could even do something that's kind of fun because it's summertime and talk about some cool things that might be going on in the area if you have local types of accounts. So I sent that out, and what happened was I started, I'm not kidding you, as a result of it, because other people had time on their hands too. And they were less busy, which means that they were able to have the time to actually engage in a dialogue. So I'm not kidding you, conservatively, I had about 50 to 75 conversations that were generated from this resource, including several people where we kind of were going back and forth, and we're like, you know, this is silly. We've never gotten on a phone call to get to know each other. So I had probably 4 or 5 phone calls this week, phone appointments, if you will, that were generated right from that LinkedIn thing that I did. I've got 2 or maybe 3 that are set up for next week. I had one person buy something that I had at the bottom of the resource. And that approach that I use, I call it a by the way approach, where I give you something, and then at the end, I don't say it this way, but the flavor is kind of like, oh, by the way, you found value in this, check out this course or whatever. And I have someone else that replied with me, kind of like their own, by the way, oh, by the way, I noticed that you have a training program, which I had talked about at the end of the piece that I mentioned to you guys. And I noticed that you have an option that I can put my entire sales team in for $1,000. I'm talking to my boss about it tomorrow or Monday. You know, looks good. You know, hopefully we can get the entire team in. So to me, that's, you know, an extra $1,000 should that come in just for sending out something that wasn't salesy. So again, we don't really... it's not something that I have the time to do all the time these days. I've gotten a lot busier. My business is more mature. So I was able to spend time doing that. The other thing that I did, LinkedIn related, was that I gathered, and I set this up ahead of time too. I took a few of the people that I've actually spoken with, and if you've been following for a while, you know that I'm a big advocate of playing matchmaker. Put people together who should know each other or who could buy from each other or help each other, you know, somehow, right? It's part of what we should be doing. It costs us nothing to do that. So, but what I also do is I do these things called social mixers, and you should too, where you gather a few people from your network. I like to have no more than about, ideally, 4 other people. Besides myself, I've gone as much as 5. The reason why I don't want more than that is because this is going to be actually a phone call or a Zoom meeting. And I find the more people that are involved, the more people are talking over each other. And sometimes even the opposite effect happens. When you have a lot of people, they rely on other people to do the talking, and they just kind of check out. They go into like listen mode, like we all do when we go to a meeting. So what I do is I send out prior to the holiday week, right, just like any other appointment, and I sent out an email to 4 other people, and I said kind of along the lines of, you know, I'd like for you all to get to know each other. I thought the holiday week, we'd all have a little time, and heck, if we were all living nearby each other, I'd have you all over for a drink, sit around the fire pit, and we could just kind of relax and just get familiar with each other, see how we can help each other. And what I did also was I selected a topic. I thought a timely topic would be, you know, what are you doing to expedite your sales over the summertime, right? So I sent it out prior to the holiday. I heard back from everyone. Sometimes you don't, okay? So maybe you hear back from 3 out of 4, and then you go find somebody else to fill the spot. But if you've been actively speaking with the people in your network, it's not going to be hard to do. It'll just, you know, maybe some back and forth. So I set it up, and that was a fantastic discussion. I received a lot of really nice emails afterwards. Just about everybody sent me a little thank you, Paul. It was so nice of you to put this together. Oh, by the way, this person and I already have an appointment. They were also on the call. They're very interested in, you know, buying this product from me. So really, I've done my good deed. But also, I want you to think about something. When you play matchmaker like that, you're putting yourself at the center of new relationships, right? New customers, new suppliers. And if you're putting good people together, then you're remembered as doing that. And therefore, you're bringing value to your relationships. And it's not that we keep a scorecard, but I'm telling you, it's very easy. In fact, much easier than for them to refer you in kind, for them to remember you. And when, you know, heaven forbid you need something, you're not going to go, hey, you owe me. I did this for you. But I think that they're going to be more likely to help you than some schmuck who sent them an invite 2 years ago and then never, ever interacted with them. So that's kind of the question that I have for you. I mean, with that extra time, if you had some this week, what did you do? I mean, one of the things I wanted to do, I didn't get a chance to do it because these other things really turned into things that were more time consuming. I never have time to do things on my LinkedIn profile that I wanted to do. I wanted to update the picture that I have on there. I felt it was a little too formal. I think things are becoming a lot less formal since the pandemic. I wanted to do that. Okay, I didn't get to that. But the point is, I went into the week with a list of things that I normally wouldn't have the time to do. So maybe that's the question for you. If you had extra time this week, how did you use it? How could you have used it better? But the final question I have for you, and this might be the most difficult one yet, is what could you have done better this week? I think that this whole business of managing a holiday week or a long weekend, especially the days leading up to it, certainly the time during, but then that mental checkout that continues afterwards. My question to you, and the question that you really should be asking yourself, is, you know, what could you have done better this past week? And as difficult as this might be, as something that might make you very, very uncomfortable, I really want to push you on this one. To have this thought process right now while the week is still fresh. Now, if you happen to be in a sales leadership position, I think this would be an excellent sales meeting for you to have with your team. I think you should ask some of these questions again. Hey, you know, did you have appointments set up for this week? Did you buy into the myth that nobody has needs and then, you know, maybe you didn't go after places? Did you mentally check out? Did you make a decision whether you're going to work? And if you work, there's no half measures. You're all in. Did you decide to take the week off? And again, if you took the week off, did you really spend that time with your family and allow yourself the gift of the recharge and that gift of being present? That's kind of important too, right? And again, were you productive, or did you kid yourself into thinking that, well, I'll just update my CRM? That's just the standard bullshit. I can't think of anything productive to do with my time answer. But again, what could you have done better? So I really think this is something you should think about. And the reason why I'm pushing you folks is, don't forget, it's those things that are uncomfortable. In fact, you know, let me just stop for a second. One of the things that I believe we should be doing as sales professionals is that we should have the balls to ask the difficult questions to prospects and clients, right? If I was standing in front of all of you right now, I'd see a lot of head nods, because we really have to have the balls to have the difficult conversations. But the most difficult conversation in the world is the one that we have internally. That's the real enemy here, folks. We kind of have to conquer the battle within. So I want you to think about that. Now, before you go, I want to encourage you to stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. I put together a special prospecting resource. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just past the halfway mark of 2021. We need everything we possibly can at our disposal, especially if you're in a situation where it kind of slows down over the summer. Then, okay, it picks up a little bit in the fall. But guess what happens in the fall? Right after, I mean, I've heard it as early as like the first week in November, people start telling, hey, you know what, call me back after the holidays. We just celebrated Halloween. What holidays are you talking about? Like, what, we're going to check out for 2 months? But it happens. So again, I have a special prospecting resource that you can download if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.